Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
So good. Listen, everybody listening, there was a ring found last Sunday. It wasn't the Father's ring. It was found in the ladies' restroom. If you lost a ring or left a ring, we have one. See Pastor John after the service, and we'll make sure that it gets back to you. Because this whole thing that we've been talking about was lost and found. Coins were lost, sheep were lost, son was lost. And they're all found. So that's what we're looking at today. But if you did lose a ring... It looks like an expensive ring. I could buy a new car with that ring. No, I'm messing with you. I really am. But we don't want you to have that loss. So we did find it. We have it in the safe and everything. So see Pastor John and we could get that to you. Our last week coming up for the campaign. And it's made for a mission. And how many of you, if you've been involved in it, how many of you have really enjoyed these sessions and these group sessions? Man, they have been awesome. They really have. They really have. But this thing about the mission is basically this. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So we have a mission. Who's it from? Jesus. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you the same way. So we have a big mission, and there's no little I, little you. We're all His. We're all His children. And before I get started into the message, I want to recognize somebody in our midst today. It's not his first time. He's been here several times. You know him. You know him well. But he is a champion, and that's scholar. I know he's got his head down. He's a championship wrestler. He has won all kind of awards and everything. But stand up. We just want to say we're proud of you. We're proud of you. Good job. Good job. Great job. I've got one word for you. I really do. One word, well, it's more than one word, but I have a word. It's not what you've done. It's who you are. You're a champion. That's who you are. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I was glad to see him today, but they've been traveling and wrestling. He's on a wrestling team. I like wrestling. I don't wrestle that good. I like wrestling. So the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. So if you want to learn how to wrestle, he's your man. Scholar is your man. All right. Well, we're going to hopefully finish up today on this series of the prodigal son and that parable. And like I told you before, it hasn't been one that I really felt like I need to do a series. It's one of those things. I started out with 3 points to make sure you come home. But I never did get out of it. I could not get out of it. The Holy Spirit was leading me in that. But anyway, let's get into it. Let's go to Luke 15. And I'm going to talk to you about the fatted calf and the elder son. If I can get all that into one message, I'm going to talk to you about that. So the younger son demands his inheritance, which is illegal to do, because by the law, listen, you don't get your inheritance until the father dies or on his deathbed. So this is an illegal thing. But anyway, the father divides it out, separates it out, divides it out. But the Bible says that he took it. The younger son took it. He gathered everything together and he took it. But anyway, he squandered it and went to a far land, squandered it, and had to eat with pigs. He got so destitute. that he had to eat with pigs. But he does repent. He does return. And he says, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am not worthy to be called your son. And we've talked about that. But today I want to look at verse 22. So the Father's already seen him. He ran to meet him. And I love the addition y'all did to that song about Father running to the prodigal son. That is just awesome. It's just awesome to have that image that the Father is. Father's a runner. You know, so he'll come after. He runs for you. He just make a move toward him, and he'll run toward you before you get to him. Anyway, let's look at this. And it says, but the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and make merry. For this is my son. From this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now, what we need to see here, we've already talked about the robe, the ring, and the sandals, and we've talked about a lot of different things the Lord was bringing to our spirit to be able to grab hold of fresh revelation. But in the beginning, you need to see here that he didn't say, bring a fatted calf. What does he say? Bring the fatted calf. Bring the fatted calf. So you begin to see that it's not just a calf that has gotten fat. It's really not. It's a special calf. The fatted calf here was picked especially, fattened and reserved for special occasions and festivities like weddings, holidays, and events. But you need to understand something. They just don't automatically pick fat calves or ones that are plump. Nope. They picked a calf to fatten up on the grain. Didn't work. And they was fattened for the purpose. And this has to be done anywhere from 18 to 24 months from birth. From birth. This tells me a lot about the Father here. What's the Father doing? He's getting ready for what? His son to come home. This is about a year and a half to 2 years. He picks out a calf. He fattens it. It doesn't do hard labor or anything of that nature. It's taken care of, and it's reserved for that occasion. For that occasion. So he prepared in advance. So the Lord has been preparing, has prepared in advance for you and I to be in our full destiny that he's created for us. The full destiny. Everything. He has made preparations. He has been patient. This shows that he's very patient. And he's preparing. And he has a provision for everybody. How many of you know God provides for you? He provides for all of us. He really does. But this is why he was standing outside. When he looked and saw what? Afar off. He was looking for him. This tells you he's already made the plans. He's coming home. Picks out the calf, begins to be fed by its mom and all that, but it weans from that and they feed it grain and all that process is about a year and a half, 2 years. So he's preparing for his son, and it's been 2 years. You have to capture the very essence and the heart of the Father. This is the heart of the Father. He never gives up on you. Part of the song was talking about his loving arms will never fail us. He will never, ever fail us. So you begin to see that he saw him afar off, and his expectations, he's leaping inside his heart, and he runs. And we talked about the Father running. We won't go back into that. But he runs to capture his, to get his son. And over in Leviticus chapter 3:16, I want to emphasize this thing about the fattened calf. It's not just a fat calf. It's one that has been fattened for the purpose of the son coming home. Leviticus 3:16 says this, the burning of fat by fire was a sweet aroma. Then he goes on and he says, all fat is the Lord's. All the fat, he said, that's mine. All the fat's his. And when it burns, it has a sweet aroma. That's in Leviticus 3:16. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this, but thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God. Well, don't you just love those words? We are a fragrance of Christ to God. But see, when he talks about this thing about he always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, you have to know a little bit of the history about that, that when a king conquered another nation or a people, they would have them tied up and shackled up, and they would parade them. Listen, they would parade them in front of the whole city when they entered the city. And you have to capture this. The thing about the king, he would ride in a chariot, and there would be a slave behind him holding the crown above his head. Not a son, a slave would be holding the crown above the king's head as they rode in. But here's the special part. Capture this. He would get his children to ride in the chariot with him. Oh, think about that. He always leads us into triumph, his triumph in Christ Jesus. How does he lead us? We ride with him in the chariot. Why? He is the conqueror. He is the one. And we are led by what he has done. So, if I had a chariot, I'd pull one in right now and tell every one of you to get in it. But see, that's not the point. The point is this, that when you study and you read and you begin to see that he always leads us and he makes us manifest in us a sweet aroma. We're as a sweet aroma. Now, what the Bible say a sweet aroma was? The burning of the fat. The burning of the best. It was always called the best. It's like the best for God in the offerings. The fat was the best for God in these things. And he says, he goes on and he says, a sweet aroma to the knowledge of him. And that word means seeking to know him. It's an aroma that gives off to everybody that will seek to know the very one that did this. So the aroma that he's manifesting in you and I is causing others to seek God whom we have in our lives, Christ in our life. Oh, this is beautiful. It really is. It's a beautiful thing. Over in Genesis chapter 45:18, it says that Israel would eat the fat of the land. That's the abundance of the land. Psalm 65:11, it says this, thy ways, are not ways, but thy paths drip with fatness. That's Psalm 65:11. I don't have all these scriptures up here, but I sent them to them before I was finished. Anyway. So this, the word paths is the ways overflow with abundant blessings. Walk in his paths. He said, his paths overflow, his ways overflows with abundant blessings. Not a trickle. Overflows. Now, it does say drips, but that word drip means to over, it's an overflow in all the abundant blessings. But how would you, do we really want to walk in the overflowing of God's blessings? Rich, abundant blessings. Not just a little blessings, but the abundance of it. You got more than enough. Way more than enough. Way, way more than enough. How many more times can we say that? I mean, way more than enough. That's our God. That's who he is, and that's who he's presenting here in these passages. Well, let's look at, I think we have this one. Let's look at this one. It talks about Psalm 36. Is that the next one? No? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Let's look at this. Thy mercy, O God, is in the heavens. Mercy. And thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of his wings. Look at this one. Verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied by the fatness in thy house. Boy, I tell you what, this is a verse that you need to have on your refrigerator. In your heart, his mercy is bigger than the heavens. His faithfulness reaches far beyond the clouds. His righteousness is like great mountains. His judgments is deep, great deep. He preserves man and beast, and the excellence of his loving kindness. He has such loving kindness, such patience. Therefore, the children who put their trust under the shadow of his wings, of thy wings, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. I'm ready to drink up. How about you? I'm ready to drink up. Drink from what? The rivers of his pleasures. This, and all of this, he said, but this thing, the abundance comes from the fatness of the house, of his house. This word fatness here, it means the fatness is full abundance. In other words, it is full. Sparing what? Come on, sparing what? What's he spared? Nothing. Who's he done that for? Raise your hand. If he's done that for you, raise your hand. He's done it. This is our God we're talking about. And he said, this is the fatness. Over in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, it says, a generous soul is made fat. Someone who is generous is made fat. What does that mean? Prosperous. Someone who is generous is made fat. The abundance of prosperity. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul that is diligent is made fat, is satisfied. The soul of being diligent in our walk with him is made full. That's the reason this fatted calf is so important, and not just to be just passed over real quick. Proverbs 28:25, it says, those who put their trust in the Lord shall be made fat. It says, shall grow in plenty. Shall grow in plenty. Is anywhere in your life that you don't have plenty? Nobody? Oh, nobody? Everybody. So we're full up, right? We're full up. But he says, you want to grow in plenty? This is what he said. You want to grow in plenty? Put your trust in God. You'll grow in plenty. And then the one more at Proverbs 15, chapter 15:30 says, bright eyes will gladden the heart, but good news puts fat on bones. Good news puts fat, that word fat, there is health. Good news puts health in bones. You want people to be healthy? Give them good news. Give them the good news. Give them, look, we are commissioned to give the good news. Not the oh me's, not the I know's, but the good news. He said, the good news. Will put fat in the bones. It'll put health in the people when they hear good news. Oh man, let's give out some good news this week. Are you ready for some good to get? Are you a good news giver? Or are you an oh me taker? Oh me, oh my, oh. Crawfish pie, oh. All that kind of stuff. Good news. Puts fat on the bones. Assyria was attacking Israel. And God told him, I don't want you to be afraid. And this is over in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. He said, I don't want you to be afraid. So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be broken because of fatness. You know what that word fatness means in there? Anointing. Anointing. See, the fatness is part of the anointing of God. Say, well, the thing we have, he says, don't be afraid of the enemy. He's got a burden for you, he's got a yoke for you. But I'm telling you, and this is the Lord, he said, I'm telling you, don't be afraid of it, because I'm gonna remove the burden. The burden's gonna be gone. The burden's going to be lifted, and the yoke will be taken off, and the yoke will be shattered, not just torn. The yoke shall be shattered, utterly destroyed, because of the anointing of the fatness of God, the goodness of God, the abundance of God. He can do what? We sing, nothing is what? Impossible. Nothing's impossible. But this is a hard thing that I'm in. This is what, nothing's impossible for him. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. So you begin to see that this abundance and this divine mercy and this joy is a celebration, and it's the end of indebtedness. See, the choice was made not for a goat nor a lamb. The choice was made for a calf. The reason they chose the calf then is because it's going to be a big feast. It's going to be a big celebration. It's going to be one of great magnitude. All the friends, all the neighbors is going to be invited. And a calf, the fatted calf, will feed everybody. Do you hear what he's saying here? When over in the, we'll get to that in a minute, but when a coin is found, they find the coin and they said, hey, come rejoice with me. They go and get everybody to come and rejoice in me, because what was lost has been found. Whoever gets his ring, pitch a party. Invite me. No, invite us all. Pitch a party. Well, you found your ring. It was lost and it's found. But the whole parable here is about the celebration of what was found, that which was lost. That which was lost was found. Celebration. That's the reason the fatted calf. That's the reason. It was a grand feast and for the whole community. He returned home without shame. He turned home with shame, with guilt, with regret, expecting condemnation, expecting punishment, and conditional acceptance. That's how he came. However, the father's decision to throw a grand celebration symbolized his forgiveness, complete forgiveness, acceptance, restoration, reconciliation, with grace and mercy and favor. So what's the good about the fatted calf? It's time to celebrate. It is time to celebrate. Celebrate over this one. See, it's symbolic of Christ and the heart of the Father to celebrate over you and I. Fatted calf, small deal? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. A huge thing to kill the calf. Let's go on. Now, over in verse 25, now the older brother was out in the field. He was in the field. And as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. Yeah, hear this. He heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked them, what are these things? What do these things mean? I'm hearing music and I'm listening to them dance and all that. What does this mean? And he said, your brother has come home because he's been received safe and sound, and your father has killed the fatted calf. Woo! He knows there's a celebration because he knows all about the fatted calf. He knows all about the tradition of when that's done. What's the next few words? Can we put the next few words up there? What's the next few words? But he was angry. He was angry and what? And would not go in. Now I'm gonna pause for a minute here because I want you to understand something. He didn't hear nothing about the ring. He didn't hear nothing about the robe. He didn't hear nothing about the sandals. He didn't hear nothing about that. All he heard was the music and the dancing. And he called the servant and said, "What's the meaning of this?" What did he get mad about? What did he get mad about? The fatted calf being killed for another person in the family. Wasn't about what the father gave him. It was about the celebration that was happening. And this word angry does not mean he's a little ticked off. That does not mean that. This word here means that he is full of rage. He's full of rage. Can't believe it. He's full of rage. So this shows that anger will reveal to you, will reveal to us what lords over us. Do you hear me? Anger will begin to reveal to you and I and to others what is lording over you and I. Let that sink in. Now, he's angry. He is full of rage. He is completely, completely upset. If your rights lord over you, then not getting your way is going to make you angry. I'm going to say that again. If your rights lord over you, your rights lord over you, not getting your way is going to make you angry. Check out some babies every now and then. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not, I want this. And if they don't get it, what do? I mean, they go into another person. Why? Because with babies, they don't know any better. I'm not critical of babies. We just know babies. Right? Who was once a baby in this house? You were that way. And so was I. We've all been that way. So listen to if comfort lords over you, then inconvenience is going to make you angry. If comfortable lords over you, any inconvenience you're gonna get mad about it. Driving. I won't say anything else. Driving comfort. I'm not comfortable going this slow. Listen. I have to work on that one all the time. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you the truth. Here it is. We was on the way to church. It'd been a while back. And we was running a little bit late. And here's a car that was going slower than I thought we needed to go. So I waited on the one straightaway that we got from here to the one straightaway, and I just go, boom, I'm going on. And I look over, and it's Mark and Debbie Summer, Churchill. I see them sitting right there. Now, my comfort of going at a faster speed was lording over me. And Debbie and Mark were having a Sunday stroll cruise. And they were doing a speed limit, but I was behind. But see, the point is this. So you know what I do after that? Brenda said, "This car is slow." And I said, "I ain't passing it. I'm not passing it. We'll just be 5 minutes late. I'm not passing it." Last time I passed, Mark and Debbie were sitting over and I was going. Wasn't his fault. Completely mine. If politics lords over you, truth will anger you. If you're ruled by politics, any truth that don't go what they're saying will anger you. Oh boy, it wasn't many on that one, but that is so good. If control lords over you, change If you're a control person, if it lords over you, change will make you angry. And one more. If you lord over yourself, correction will anger you. If you lord over you, oh, well, I'm my own man. I heard another man say, you look it. You know, but see, the thing, if you lord over you, any change is going to make you angry. Let's move on. So he's furious and he's angry. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. This word pleaded means to calm, to bring calmness, to bring strength to him, and to beg him. What is he trying to get the older son to do? Come on in. Come on in. By the way, when you begin to see this thing about strength, encouragement strengthens people. That's the reason the Bible says, encourage one another each day. Encourage one another. Why? It brings strength to people. You want people to be stronger that you love? Start encouraging them instead of getting on to them. Start encouraging them. Encourage them. Lift them up, and they'll be stronger. So he answered, so the son answered and said to his father, oh, this is good. Lo, these many years I have been serving you. This word lo is, look here, pay attention. Look here, pay attention. These many years I have been serving. That word serving means enslaved. Pay attention. Pay attention to me, Pop. I'm about to tell you something. I've been serving. I've been enslaved to you all these years. All these years. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. Now, let me ask you that. I know this is a parable. Let me ask you that. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's true? No. Why? All have sinned and, okay. All right, so he's not telling the truth either. He's not telling the truth. And then he said, and yet, you have never given me a young goat. This passage means that, and you have not given me, not even as much as a young goat, much less a calf. You've not even given me a young goat. Then he goes on, because he's saying, you owe me. You owe me. All over dancing and singing and celebrating. You owe me because I've done all this for these years. I've been enslaved. I'm not even violated anything that you've told me to do. That's not the truth. You've not even given me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. I want to celebrate with my friend. Did he do it with his friends? Who was it killed for? The father. The father wanted to do what? What did the father want to do? He wanted to celebrate. He wanted to pitch a party. He wanted to celebrate. Why? Because what was lost was found. But see, this elder son said, you didn't even give me as much as a young goat that I, that's all about him, that I could make merry with my friends. It was all about him, my friends. I earned it. That's what he's saying. I earned this, and then you didn't give it to me. Who is he criticizing? The father. He's criticizing the father. Not about a robe, not about a ring, not about sandals. He ain't got that far yet. He heard the celebration, and it infuriated him because he understood what it meant. Now, he's not done yet. He's not that I make me. He said, but as soon as this son of yours, whew, As soon as this son of yours came, oh, can you feel it? Have you ever ventured in that territory before with your own words? As soon as this happened, you understand what I'm saying? So he is like, he's really upset over this celebration, over this dance. He's just crazy about it. Crazy against it. He had contempt, he had scorn, and he the father shares in the guilt. It's just as much your fault as it is his. Now we have to understand something, that this parable starting and finishing was about the lost sheep. One was found, and he says, "Rejoice with me," and he went out and got people to come in. Rejoice with whom? Me. Because I found it. A coin was found. He goes out, this woman goes out, gets as many as she can, and says what? Rejoice with me, because what was lost is found. Then he goes on in both of those parables, and he tells them that heaven rejoices, all of heaven rejoices when what? One sinner comes home. All of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes home. You know what happens sometime in the church? One sinner will come home. That won't last long. I'll give him about a month. Do you hear what I'm saying? All of a sudden, we have this thought process. They're not as good as I am. That's the thought process of the older son. It says, as soon as he comes home, I want you to notice that he said, "Your son." He didn't even say, "My brother." You know what he said? He's disowning him. I ain't even gonna call him a brother. I mean, he is full of rage. He's full of rage. He didn't even say, "My brother." And he didn't even say, "Come home." He said, "He came." And when he came, do you hear? He just showed up. It didn't like, he's not like. And when my brother came home. No, he just showed up. He is full of rage. Now, let's go on, because there's a lot more in this. And he says this, he blames the father as well. He said, watch this, who has devoured what? What? Your livelihood. Why did he say your livelihood? Because it didn't belong to the younger son at that time, because the father is not dead. By law, he can only have it when the father dies. Do you hear what I'm saying? So he's got judgment, and he's despised. He's in judgment. He said, and he said, he has devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. Did he say that before? No. They said, "Come and make merry with me." Whose celebration is it? Whose celebration is it? It is the Father's celebration, and he invites everybody to be a part of that celebration. Everybody, including the elder son. You begin to look at this and you say, my goodness. So Jesus over in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained and saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He receives sinners and eats with them. So what's the purpose of the parable? The purpose of the parable is to show the Father's love for those that are lost, for them to come home. And he's ready to restore anytime, anytime. Second thing about this parable is the fact that, see, you saw here where the Pharisees was there and they were complaining, and there's another group was the sinners. And you have to understand that they're all upset and they grumbled because they felt like they earned their relationship with God. And the sinner didn't. Wait a minute. I've earned my relationship with God. I've, quote unquote, worked. I've read my Bible. I've done this. I've done that. That's all about. That's the reason I was telling Skylar. It's not what you've done. It's who you are. It's not what you've done. It's who you are. Paul says, you're my son. Put this on him. You're my son. Put it on him. You begin to see that with these things, I got a parable. I'm not a parable. Well, it is another parable. Over in, what's the next one? We might go... I want to go by that one. That talks about the Pharisee praying and said, "I've paid my tithes. I've done all this, and I thank you that I am not like him. I'm not like the tax collector. I'm not like him." Have you ever prayed that way? Have you ever prayed that way, that you're not like somebody else? Thank God I'm not like him. And but then the sinner starts praying. He says, he don't even raise his eyes. And it gets forgiveness. And he said, this man's going to be justified when he goes home a lot more than this other man. But I want to go to the other one. See, he gives everything he done and go on to the next one. He said, be merciful to me. And he goes on, is this the next? Okay, I want to go to Matthew 20. So I want to go on. Let's see. Here I am. Okay. Let me give you a little bit here, and then we'll close. This is a vineyard. This is a guy that owns a vineyard. 12 o'clock. He goes and talks to the people. For 12 hours at 6 o'clock, he goes and talks to the people. 6 o'clock in the morning, will you work for a day's wage? Yeah, we'll do that. And that person works 12 hours. He goes 3 hours later, that person works 9 hours. He goes 3 hours later, that person works 6 hours. He goes 3 hours later, that person works 3 hours. Then he goes to one that is 1 hour left in the day, and he hires them, and they work 1 hour. All of them agreed. They worked 1 hour. And watch this. Watch this. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. Worked 12 hours. They supposed they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius, that's a day's pay. And when they had received it, they complained. Listen to this. This hits home. It really does. They complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour. 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us. Whew. There you go. You have made them equal to us. There's the heart of the matter. I've earned more than he did. Have you ever thought that you earned more of God than everybody else did? What about those? How many of you have been saved in here? How many of you have been saved 20 years? 30 years? Okay. So how many have been saved more than 30 years? Right, raise your hand. How many of you have been saved less, about 6 months? About 6 months, or there's one, or there's another, less than 6 months. But guess what? The 6 months, I've been saved since I was eight. You know what God's telling me? Don't get mad at him. I've given you the blessings that I've given, and I've given him the same blessings. I want you to celebrate over this man. I want you to celebrate with me that he came home. I want you to celebrate with all of us that he came home. So he gets to go to heaven just like you do. You do, because, and even though you've been saved for 40 years, he gets to go with you. Oh, isn't that good? We have to make sure that we don't get all bound up, all bothered about this thing about what another has or what another is going through. You remember, I'm going to close. You remember this thing about Jesus telling, you know, Peter, you know, listen, when you get older, man's going to lead you. Man's going to lead you where you don't want to go. You know, you talk about he's going to die. And he tells Peter this, and Peter hears all this from the words of Jesus, and he looks and he says, hold just a second. Hold a second. What about John? You see? What about John? You're telling me I'm going through a hard time, going to be crucified upside down. What about John? What about John? So I'm looking at this thing, I'm going through a hard time. What about John? No. And Jesus says, what does that matter to you? You follow me. Oh, that set me free. You follow me. I'll take care of John just like I'm going to take care of you. Don't be complaining about John. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of you. The Bible says, do not measure yourselves amongst yourselves. Doesn't he say that? They say, well, no. I've worked hard. I deserve that. Oh, we got to get that out of us. We got to get that out of us. So what is he trying to say? He's trying to tell the older son. He said, what he's wanting to do, he said, stop trying to earn it. Come on inside and celebrate. See, when you think that you have earned your relationship with God, your expectation level for others will be they got to earn it too. And then if you think that you've earned your relationship with God, they're going to have to earn your relationship they got to earn from you your friendship. This thing about earning, it's grace. It's not about earning. It is all grace. Every bit of it's grace. By grace, you've been saved. Through faith. Not of yourselves. What? So can you boast about saving yourself? No, not going to happen. So here, that's the kicker. The thing is, he says, come on in. Join the celebration. Quit trying to earn it. Some of you need to quit trying to earn your relationship with God, because you can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be good enough. I can't do all these. I can't do it good enough. I can't do it. Why? Because the prodigal son, then all he did is show up and repented and showed up, and then next thing you know, you're just the goodness of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy and your goodness. Thank you for your love and your heart to love us all. And that you've given us grace way beyond our merit of earning it. We thank you that through Jesus, we have everything. And we thank you, Jesus, for paying the price. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Did you learn anything this morning? Amen. Amen. The Father's love. Amen. Just a few announcements for the men. Just want to remind you this Saturday, April the 4th at 8 o'clock a.m., we will be meeting at the FLC for our men's fellowship breakfast, and our speaker is going to be Eric Moore. We'll be speaking during that time. So we're asking all men to come out and be a part of that. Say next Sunday, we will be celebrating our Resurrection Sunday, and we will not have Sunday school next Sunday, okay? We'll start at 10:30. No Sunday schools for all ages, all right? We all meet here at 10:30, all right? And just a reminder, right after service, what's going to happen? Food, we get to eat, amen? All right, so let us stand, please. Yes, we're going to go ahead and bless the food, too. So when you get there, just and make sure you thank the ladies' ministry for taking care of the food and setting it out for us, okay? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much today for your word. First of all, Lord, we've ate good this morning. Lord, spiritually, food that you've given us, Father, of your love and your compassion and your grace, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your servant that delivered the word to us. And, God, we thank you for the food we're going to receive today. We pray that you bless it for the nourishments of our bodies and our bodies for your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.